Hi, this is Radio Kate here at the Belfast Media Festival, and I have stepped up to the third floor to visit COJO, otherwise known as the College of Journalism, and I'm here with Paul Mars. I'm just clutching your business card here because you have one of those wonderful BBC titles. So you are the manager of the Multimedia Journalism Training Team at the College of Journalism, BBC Academy. What does that actually mean?
Okay, that means that I look after a team of 14 trainers who work all across the country. We set up this training, these training people, because we wanted to get the training out of London. That was the main objective. So much training was done in London, and we felt that having training centres out of London would give BBC journalists who are based all around the country good opportunity to attend training. It means they don't have to travel to the capital every time they want something. So we've got training centres in Newcastle, in Manchester, or Salford to be more precise, Leicester, Bristol, and of course in London itself as well. And that's where most of my team, multimedia journalism trainers, operate out of. You asked me about my particular role. I manage the team. I also get involved in hands-on training myself as well. And the areas that we train people in are video journalism, radio skills, web skills, web writing, production, and also social media. Those are the four main areas that the team are involved in currently.
And how important is multimedia to the BBC's journalism? And have you seen that change over the last few years?
Yes, it's very important. If we can kind of break that down a little bit, maybe talk about multi-skilling, because that's one thing that we started doing with people about 10 years ago. And that was primarily in the area of video journalism, where we started to put technical kit into the hands of journalists. Well, 90% journalists, 10% technical people. We felt, but the unions also felt, the trade unions felt, it was only right and proper if we were going to introduce this kind of major change into our working ways of working, that it wasn't just for journalists, but that technical people had an opportunity to pick up the kit as well. For them, obviously, it meant learning the journalism, which was, you know, it was tough. For the journalists, it meant learning the technical kit, which is also tough, but maybe not quite as tough. But anyway, so that's where we started. That's how we embarked on this particular journey, was by putting cameras into the hands of approximately over a four-year period, nearly 600 staff from around the country, and not just acquiring content, but also then actually taking that content back to a computer and editing those pieces together, primarily for the output on the local regional news programmes around the country, so in English regions and in the nations as well. So that was the start of our journey into this sort of brave new multi-skilled, multi-platform, multimedia world.
How did the traditional journalists who had their one speciality, how did they take to that when you first introduced that?
Mixed response, really. Some dug their heels in and came into it kicking and screaming. Others welcomed it, saw it as a great opportunity to further their skills, to get involved in something they hadn't done before. And thankfully, that was the majority feeling. Sometimes it took a little while to convince people, but what we said to each of them was, because the courses were 3 weeks when they first started, we said, look, give it a go. You know, if you approach this with a mindset that I'm not going to do this, then, you know, it's not really a good place to start. But just give it a few days. Let's just see what you think after a few days training. And thankfully, most of them saw that there was something here that was actually pretty interesting, and just a whole new different approach to a way of gathering news and producing news. And one thing that we tried to sell quite strongly was that this wasn't just a matter of cost cutting, because cost cutting 10 years ago wasn't really where the main objective was. I mean, yes, it's always nice to save a bit of money here and there, but that was not the way that this was sold. It was very much sold on the ability to change the content of what ended up on screen. Because what we found was happening was, with traditional ways of working, we were getting very much into a formula, and the content that would happen would be in our programs was becoming a bit dull and watchable. Viewing figures were decreasing, and getting people to VJ was seen as a way of actually changing that content by giving people more time with their contributors, starting to get under the skin of stories, working in a way that wasn't directing people, trying to capture actuality as it happened, and just trying to create a product, an end product, that was far more interesting, engaging for the viewers. And yeah, I believe we achieved that. It hasn't been easy. There's been some very steep learning curves, not just for the people who've been on the training courses, but for the trainers and the people who've been the brains behind it. But it's still something, even 10 years on, that we're still progressing. We're still training people from scratch. We're still supporting them as maybe their skills get rusty or new kit comes out. We're still working with them. But it's far more than just video journalism, as I've already said. This is multimedia, so it's radio, it's web, and it's social media stuff, which you can't do anything without a bit of social media these days. So those are the main areas that we're concentrating on at this present moment in time. There's nothing to say that 6-12 months down the road, there may be something new that comes along that we need to get involved with as well, such as this device you're holding in front of me, which is a mobile device. I've got colleagues, obviously, within the college who are working with these types of devices as news gathering tools, and yeah, there may be something else, who knows, but that's where we stand at the moment.
And are you finding that the new journalism recruits and some people who've come through maybe journalism courses more recently are kind of more open to this idea of being multi-skilled, multi-platform? They call them digital natives, the ones that have grown up with this technology. Do you feel like, are they, I don't know, how well are they integrating into the workplaces, or some of the old school journalists a bit kind of nervy of the these young upstarts on Twitter and Audioboo and Facebook? And
well, it is great to see people coming into the organisation from, like you say, they've grown up with this. They seem to be able to edit before breakfast. It's marvellous the way that they've just taken the tools, the technology, and the way they can run with it, which is great. But actually, anybody these days can go out and buy the kit that we use from the local high street. They can download the software that we use from the internet, probably free of charge. So the tools are actually available to anybody these days. However, that does not make for a good journalist. And I think this is one thing where the BBC can still remain strong and insist that even though these people come to us with the tools and the knowledge, they still have to be able to tell the story. That is the important thing, because it doesn't matter what tools you've got and how clever they are. If you can't tell the story with those tools, then you may as well not start. So yeah, we tend to do a lot of work with people who are technically savvy, but they need instruction in storytelling and the way of actually producing the content that will be produced in a way that is engaging, watchable, and keeps people viewing your product, not grabbing for the remote control and going somewhere else. So yeah, great to see these people coming in, but they do need a little bit of work. And maybe, as a few years ago, it was very much sort of concentrating on the technicalities and getting people to get to grips with those. Now, particularly with younger people, we're finding that most of the work that needs to be done by us is really to concentrate on their storytelling and their just good common sense journalism. There's so much within the BBC that can trip people up. You have to be very aware of the BBC's editorial policies in many different aspects and the whole legal side as well, that you don't commit any mistakes or errors there. And that's something that, yeah, we all know the history of the BBC has been caught out a few times on things like that. So it's one thing that we're very cautious of, to make sure that people don't start producing content for air that hasn't been checked and that they have received the proper training in order to put them in a position to produce that content in a way that isn't going to break any rules.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, because nowadays there is just content coming at you from all over the place. You wake up in the morning, the radio's on, then you've got the television, and then you've got your computer and the internet, and then all the messages coming through on your phone. So I guess in a way, big brands like the BBC, one of their strengths is to be able to maybe curate that information, ensure that they are researching it properly and bringing out the truth. I was just wondering, do you think that the role of a journalist has slightly changed or will change, perhaps, given that so many people out there now can break a story on Twitter, perhaps without the context, without the information, they can tweet that, perhaps get it out there before you can put it on the radio or the television or online. Do you think perhaps then the role of a journalist is going to be more about telling the deeper story and putting that information into context rather than just breaking the story and being the first one to have that information?
Yes, I think you're right. Stories will probably get broken by other people other than the BBC. I mean, because the tools and the technology is there to enable people to do that now. They can break the story first. I mean, the question is it true? Is it correct? And I think this is where the BBC plays a major role before bringing it to one of its platforms, is obviously to check that whatever has been broken is substantiated and backed up with evidence, and you know that we know that whatever we are putting out on any of our services is truthful and accurate, and not just on the whim of somebody who happened to have tweeted or texted or whatever other fashion they found to send us details of this bit of breaking news. So yeah, we have to be very careful that we still maintain those standards of accuracy. And check things thoroughly.
I mean, even trusted sources can get things wrong sometimes. I mean, I'm just thinking back to when Gabrielle Giffords was shot in the US, and many people thought that she had died, many people reported that she had died, including NPR, which was my, you know, I kind of trusted them more than some of the other people I saw on Twitter. And when they reported that she died, I thought, well, they have editorial values, you know, similar to those of the BBC, and they wouldn't say it unless they had it confirmed. And then, of course, it turns out, well, actually, she hasn't died. And more recently, with the Amanda Knox trial, because of the judgment was quite long and found her guilty of one thing but not the other, quite a few people preempted that and got it wrong. If the BBC was to find itself in that situation, what would be the best course of action, do you think?
Yeah, I think the BBC is, this is a bit of a roundabout way of answering your question, but I think the BBC is caught between a bit of a rock and a hard place here. Is being first with the news the best thing? Or is being second and being accurate the best thing? And I think the BBC gets slated either way, that, you know, if it does hold back on something that it thinks it knows but hasn't yet been substantiated, then it'll come in for criticism because the other broadcaster got there first. And if it does hold back and get it accurate, and the other broadcaster, let's say, went first and was inaccurate, then yeah, maybe there would be a bit of praise that would then come our way. But I think it's a very difficult judgment call, and I guess it will be in the gift of the local editor of whatever that platform is that story is going out on to make that decision as to when something is put out and with what detail. And it's tough. It's difficult. I remember watching the rolling news coverage as just after the 7/7 bombings in London, and by flicking between both the BBC and another channel, it was very obvious that the other channel had already said there were 10 times more people that had been killed than the BBC was stating on its channel, and everybody was wondering what the truth was, and it remained that way, that there was this discrepancy between the two for hours. I kid you not, for hours. And eventually then the BBC's figure came up close to what the other broadcaster was broadcasting, but the BBC wasn't prepared to do it until it had been substantiated by the emergency services, I think it was at the time. And I think that was the right decision, but at the time when you're watching it thinking, you know, well, how many people have been killed here? Is it 50 or is it 5? You know, and you ask yourself that question as a viewer, as a family member, whoever, you know, you may have people that you know caught up in this, and you want to know that information. And sometimes that is the dilemma that the BBC finds itself in. You know, it's very, very hard to come out and say it until you're absolutely 100% sure that this is correct and accurate. I'm sorry, I don't know if that quite answered your question. I may have gone off at a bit of a tangent there. But
in that situation, I'm just wondering, would the BBC ever refer to the other broadcaster and just say, so we have had this much confirmed, other sources are saying this, but we have that non-confirmed. Would they ever do that, or would they just stick with, here's our number, that's it? Because if, I mean, people do now, more and more will channel hop and flick. I mean, when Michael Jackson died, I saw that break on Twitter, I watched it take off on Twitter, I then flicked between several channels to see when it was going to be announced on, you know, each of these different places. It was quite an interesting thing to do. So, I mean, maybe there is some worth in acknowledging that other people are saying something different, even if you personally haven't substantiated that.
I'm probably not the right person to answer this question. I don't know the procedures that would happen. I mean, you'd probably have to be an editor in that environment, in that newsroom at that time, to be able to make those calls. That's whether they do make those calls. I think that was your question. You know, how much collaboration is there between different broadcasters when something like that does happen? I'd like to think that yes, there was, but also, you know, if I, for example, as a BBC member of staff, were to contact Sky and say, you know, please can you tell me, you know, what you've got here, or I'd be more interested probably in knowing where they got the figures from, just to see if I felt that, you know, that their source was a good, trustworthy, reliable one, or not, as the case may be. And maybe I would just sort of stick to my way of doing things and say, right, until I hear from, for example, the emergency services that this is the figure, then that, you know, I'm not going to broadcast anything until I've heard that. I'm not sure to answer your question. I do not know what processes and procedures that people would go through, to be perfectly honest.
Well, they're all difficult questions, but it's a good job the BBC has its academy and will be there to train up its journalists so that should they find themselves in that position, hopefully they'd know what call to make. Well, thank you ever so much for your time. And if people want to find out more about the BBC College of Journalism, you're online, are you?
The website, BBC College of Journalism website, and the BBC College of Production website are both now, I think the term is, externally facing. So bbc.co.uk/journalism or /production. So those would be the two options.
Great stuff. Thank you very much.